Federal News Radio's Scott Mascione is here with details on the 2016 Defense Authorization Bill. Scott, one of the focuses of this is big changes coming potentially in the area of acquisition. How would this bill change the acquisition system at the Department of Defense?
The Defense Authorization Bill would give military chiefs and secretaries milestone decision authority over programs within their services. That means they'll have full responsibility over cost and schedule of a program. This is a big devolution of authority from the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics, who formerly ran these programs. The thinking is the service chiefs would be responsible for their own programs and will have better input over schedule and cost since they're closer to the program. Also, DoD has seen a lot of cost and schedule overruns with acquisition programs. Congress is thinking if it can take a little off of OSD's plate in the acquisition process, it may run smoother. Atlantic Council fellow Steve Grundman says this move is a throwback to about 30 years ago when service chiefs had more involvement in the acquisition process.
The most celebrated feature of it, this devolution of authority from OSD to not just the services, but also the involvement of the service chiefs, that harkens back. And I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing, but it's a way to keep that in perspective. That harkens right back to the first season, the pre-1994 season of acquisition reform that was about getting discipline in the process and better aligning the authority and responsibility of the people making decisions, period. Better aligning their authority and responsibility. I'm of two minds on that. It seems a little out of season on the one hand. On the other hand, maybe the Goldwater Nichols, to just use that as a caption of that whole season, has run its course. And in terms of, and the system needs a different, the modern system does in fact need a different alignment of authority and responsibility.
You heard Grundman talk about the Goldwater Nichols Act. That was the last time the acquisition was reformed in a big way back in 1986.
If the Defense Department, if OSD has to give up this control in this bill, how are they going to keep the service chiefs in line if a program does go way out of control?
Yeah, and that's one of the big questions people are asking. In this bill, the military chiefs would only be in control of New START programs that begin in fiscal year 2017. They're getting a fresh start here, but if one of those programs goes 15% over budget, OSD can step in and take control of that program. That 15% mark is called the Nunn-McCurdy breach. Another measure reels in service chiefs by punishing all programs that started after 2009. If any program runs over its cost estimate, then the service has to pay a 3% overrun kind of tax. And that money would go into a fund handled by OSD to invest in risk reduction and prototyping. In comparison to the amount of money DoD works with the 3%, doesn't really add up to a whole lot. A Senate Armed Services staffer said it totals about $6 billion. Still, that serves as an incentive to shape up programs or cancel ones that are wasting a lot of money.
What kind of reaction are we seeing on this so far?
It's been kind of mixed. Overall, people seem to like it, but they also have caveats. DoD Acquisition Chief Frank Kendall has said that his military chiefs deserve a role in the acquisition process, but also warned that giving them too much power is a bad idea. He says civilian oversight on these programs is important because decisions like what kind of contract they should use should be left to acquisition people. Government Accountability Office Director of Acquisition Paul Francis said the reforms may help. Congress can help even more, though, he said, by saying they won't fund some of the programs. He explained this in an exchange with Senator John McCain in a recent Senate Armed Services Committee hearing.
I think they're in the right direction in many cases for the department. But I think, as you said in your opening statement, to the extent the department comes in with a bad business case, if you still approve it and fund it, you're sanctioning it. So with all of those improvements in acquisition reform legislation, that has to be coupled with what you do on programs. And I think a couple of good no's would be healthy.
I think Senator Reid and I realize that we're just beginning in acquisition reform, and we will continue to make it our highest priority.
At the same hearing, Assistant Secretary of Defense for Acquisition Katrina McFarland and Assistant Secretary for Navy Acquisition Sean Stackley offered similar takes to Francis's.
I agree with much of what Paul said. In fact, I haven't spent 40 years, but I've been spending at least 30 plus years being both a program manager and a tester and most of the functions that are performed inside of acquisition. And the challenge is the culture and it is the people. It's the workforce itself. I think the department is very grateful for the committee and for the Congress for providing defense acquisition workforce development funds to help. But inside of this culture, there needs to be a constructive change to how we work together as a team to provide these products.
I'm going to buy back one moment on that, too. Paul hit a very, he hit the word incentives. And the context that he uses that, I would make it much broader. If you look at the complexity of our acquisition system, from end to end, starting with Congress right down to program manager and industry, the incentives across the board are not all aligned to the same outcomes. And as long as that is true, we've got forces pulling in opposite directions that are impacting program execution.
Finally, former DoD acquisition official Andrew Hunter said in a recent speech at the Center for Strategic and International Studies that he thought devolution of power is good, but has one qualm with it.
I think it treats every milestone as if they were all the same. And in my view, that there is one milestone, in particular milestone B, where you're making a huge decision about strategy and an investment for the department that the process simply will demand that the Secretary of Defense's views play a heavy role because it is a departmental decision. And I think that will have to happen to some extent through the back door as a result of the way the language is written, rather than it being out in the open and for everyone to see and participate in. And I think that's ultimately not a great thing.
That's Andrew Hunter of the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Now, this handoff in power, this devolution of power, is not the only thing regarding acquisition in the National Defense Authorization Act. What else is in there that we should pay attention to?
That's right. They're trying to make a lot of changes. There's a lot of streamlining of regulations and lessening of burdens for program managers. Congressional Research Service Defense Acquisition Specialist Moshe Schwartz laid out some smaller reforms aimed at personnel in a recent speech.
One of the things that the National Defense Authorization Act is trying to get to is issues of human beings being part of that acquisition process. So there's a lot of effort to try to get sections that talk about accountability. Who's accountable? There's a lot on program manager authority. There's a lot on training. There's a lot of trying to allow certain people under certain circumstances to waive certain statutory or regulatory requirements. There is a lot of effort to try to do that.
People say that programs function now like a bus, and everyone on the bus has their own steering wheel and brake. Obviously, this bus is going to end up in a ditch. And what this bill tries to do is to remove some of the steering wheels and empower the program managers so they're the only ones at the wheel. The bill would also give DoD some direct hiring power and the ability to offer up to $300,000 to recruit and retain acquisition talent. This gives DoD a much better chance against the private sector in hiring.
Now, Andrew Hunter was on the program yesterday talking about the idea that this bill could really be an exercise in futility because President Obama's already threatened to veto it. Is that correct?
That's right, yes. And the NDAs passed without fail for the past 50 years. But this year, the president's threatening to veto it over the way it funds the DoD. The bill uses a contingency funding that's created for wars and emergencies to fund the base budget items like operation and maintenance. Congress did this because contingency funding is not applicable to sequestration caps. So they could add $38 billion to the defense budget without triggering the sequestration cuts. The president and DoD say that's not going to cut it. And contingency funds only last for 1 year, so they need to see some years in advance. They have trouble planning. By vetoing this, they would be sending a message to Congress that they need to fix sequestration. The veto actually carries weight, too, because there's enough Democrats in the Senate to sustain the veto. The Senate may take this bill up tomorrow or Wednesday.